Welcome to Man Strong Podcast. This is your host, Clint Locklear. We talk about all things manly, what should be manly, and what's really not manly. And I think our goal for men is to be mature, not boys. And we're actually a good part of society instead of a bunch of heathens. So we're going to get into the show. And tonight's show, for the first part of it, is one of those things that you ask a question, you kind of cringe at the same time. So me and my wife, she works from home. And during lunch, we've gotten the habit of throwing on the swim trunks and going out to the river and throw the floats in and just cool off and float around and talk. And it's very good marriage time. It actually is. In the winter, we do that in the spa. That's kind of, we always joke about that's our marriage counselor is the spa. And in the summer, it's turned out to be the river. And she's like, what are you going to do the podcast on? And I go, I don't know. I don't have any inspiration yet. So I'm sitting there thinking, we're floating around. And I go, well, let me ask you a question. What do you think is important in a man? That's the question that you can ask, but you never really know where it's going. And we're going to discuss what she said because it was really interesting. But before we do, I want to thank our sponsor, which is Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. And sorry about the background noise and some yard work going on. But Funky Trap Tags and Supplies, they have copper trap tags you can use on all kind of different things. They have a full line of trapping gear. They have all kind of fishing stuff. They have deer, bait, hog. They have full line of predator calls. They're actually making some of the best Sleepy Creek products that Sleepy Creek made, the stretchers and the handles. I mean, the conibear setters. They're just good people. They are just good people to deal with. And they work their butt off. And they really, truly enjoy being part of the trapping industry. So if you're looking for someone to try, Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. So as we're floating around, and I ask her that question, and I kind of cringe, because if you've never met my wife, you know, there's a joke in the South, we like our women like we like our sweet tea, weak and sweet. Now that's not really true, it's just a joke, and it kind of gets under the skin of the women a little bit, but that is not my wife. My wife is strong, and she's got a strong will. She's smarter than I am. She should have been a lawyer. She's quick, you know, and she's got a serious soft side. She really cares about people. And just out of curiosity, because I don't think I've just ever asked her what is important in a man. And I think I wasn't writing these down because we're on a float in the middle of the river, but I think the first thing she said was caring, empathy, listens, helpful, loving, and then I'm going to finish up with one that's just funny at the end. But let's think about these a little bit. What does caring mean? You know, guys, especially guys that's been in the military, probably police force, EMTs, firemen, maybe some aggressive style of business, stuff like that. Caring, that's not exactly a trait that men naturally come by. That is something that you have to strive for. That's something you have to consciously think about. And the more you do it, the easier it is, because the more you do it, the less selfish you are. But caring. You actually care about your wife. You care how her day was. You care if she's about to pull her hair out with the kids. You care what's going on with her family because it's important to her. And guys, we're mostly, most guys that are, you know, real men are more alpha type. They're probably going to be a little more goal-driven, task-driven. They're going to be big thinkers. There could be detail guys, but it's more things orientated than it is people orientated for the most part. And that's something men have to strive for. And I don't think you can be a mature man without being able to be a caring man. And as soon as she said it, I kind of smiled. The other was empathy. Again, that is a trait that for a lot of men, me included, I have to work on all the time. Because I have kind of a hard edge in my brain, and a lot of that comes from the military. You do something stupid, you get hurt, well, just don't bitch about it. Just rub some dirt on it and suck it up. You knew better than that. Deal with it. Well, sometimes that's not the correct way to go about it. With your buddies, okay. But with your wife, oh, you're screwing up. That is not going to end well for you. So empathy is you have to be able to put yourself in the situation of your wife. What is she going through? Even if it doesn't make sense of a problem to you, because sometimes we're very different. Sometimes it doesn't seem like a very, very big deal. You know, maybe what other people think or what other people said or someone at work said something or whatever. You have to consciously work on being empathetic to your wife. And it's something you need to try to do all the time. That's why the next one was listening. And we've kind of talked about this before. Guys have a tendency, when you give them a problem, they want to come up with a solution. It's like a puzzle, and they want to get it over with and done and go to the next one. Well, women and men are different. And women want to have someone that will listen to them. So if you want to have a good relationship with your wife, you better learn to shut your mouth and listen. And not be daydreaming about where you're going fishing tomorrow, but actually listening to what she's saying. And ask questions about it. And sometimes women just want to talk about a problem. That's not normally what guys do, but if you want to be a good husband, that's what you have to do, because that's what she needs, is someone to be able to listen to her and actually pay attention. Be helpful. Oh, this is painful. You know, all the honey-do list you never want to do, but you're supposed to, and you keep putting off. You know, I've finally gotten the habit after 27 years of marriage that I'm now in the habit of, when we get done with dinner, we both do everything, you know, put stuff up, clear the table, all that type stuff. I can tell that means a tremendous amount to her, but I never really thought about it before. She just asked one night, and we've just been doing it ever since. And it really didn't start till we moved here, which is kind of strange, because it makes me think sometimes you need a new start on something to really recognize and get out of hold of habits, maybe. I'm not sure. But being helpful. Yeah, she can probably grind through it, but you will have a much better relationship if you help. And the other one was loving. That is one that I know a lot of guys, and they love their wife, but they really have a hard time showing it. I'm not a cuddle up guy. That's just not my personality. But my wife knows that I will sacrifice for her and that I love her, and I have to all the time work on that, is to be loving. Now, the complete opposite of that is being a dick. And we've all met these dicks, and if you're one of these dicks, you need your butt kicked. These guys that think it's manly, which it's not, it's actually childish, but they think it's manly to dominate over their wife. I don't care what your preacher says about taking Bible verses out of context. You do not dominate your wife. She is a partner. So if you've been brought up that a man is supposed to be head of the household and basically rule with an iron fist, you need to go back and look at the Bible and actually put it in context, and don't read it for what you want it to read, but read the whole thing. But we've all known these guys, and you don't want to be them. Because if you want to have a bad relationship, or one of these days you wake up and your wife's just gone, guess what, buddy? It's your fault. You treated her like crap for years. You treated her like she was property. You treat her like she's just supposed to handle, be on you hand and foot and basically spread her legs whenever you want her to. You are being dominating. And I guarantee you, you'll be the first one to throw a fit if someone tries to dominate you. You know, the golden rule that we all learned in grade school, do unto others as you want them to do unto you. You know, we could almost run a government off of that if people would actually follow it. So don't be dominating. Now, the other one was funny because she started laughing as soon as she said it, because I started laughing. And she was joking. But there's something to this, and it's if you've ever listened to women that read romance novels, there's almost always a common denominator that women like. They like security. What she said was, laughingly, independently wealthy. And I'm like thinking, oh boy, I'm screwed. Because, you know, we don't have FU money, and we're not independently wealthy. We're well off. We've worked a long time. She works. I work. We do pretty good with the money that we do make. And but we're not, like, she didn't marry. I mean, we were dirt poor for the first 10 years of our life. No marriage. So she didn't marry someone independently wealthy. But I think what she actually meant was a good husband is not going to be lazy about the income. He's going to be a go-getter because he should know that that's important to her. Which makes sense if you think about it. You know, there's a lot of guys that just kind of bounce around, and they're almost like they're teenagers, and they never really take anything serious, and they never do any skill training to get better jobs, and you know, it's all about the weekend, and oh god, it's Monday again, and I hate my work, and you're always looking for a reason to leave, and the house is always struggling because of income. Now, when you first get married, that's pretty much normal, unless you just have some kind of monster inheritance. Are you you know, one of these outliers with YouTube channels or gamers or an athlete, you know, that's professional or something like that. Most people that I've talked to that are my age, you know, the first 10 years of their marriage, I mean, they're barely scraping by. But as you get older and you get more mature, you should get smarter. You should figure some things out, and you should figure out a way to generate more income. Because it actually makes your marriage better, because you don't have the stress of the money. It's not that you have the money, it's the lack of stress that you don't have to worry about money on every single issue. So don't be lazy, I think is basically what she's saying. And then she was like, well, that's not really fair, because there's probably a lot of really good men that are disabled or can't work. And I think that's a good point. There's a lot of bets. It's been really screwed up where it's hard. There's been a lot of people just because of weird things. I had a friend one time that was out beaver trapping. He's in a swamp. He wakes up the next morning and he's paralyzed from the waist down. And that was 10 years ago. And he's still paralyzed the waist down today. And he still is, but I mean, he was a crazy hard worker, always hustling. But I'm sure his income, it's harder to make income when you don't have use of legs. I've talked to other people on the phone with cerebral palsy, and they're trying to hustle and stuff like that. So it's not just really about the money. I think it's, don't be a sucker, or, you know, be a suck on your wife's income. Because this, I mean, I can't imagine what it must be like. If your wife works and you're always finding a way not to work because you're lazy and you're a kid, even though you're 40, 50 years old, and you got to go ask her like she's your mommy for money all the time, do you think she's going to find that sexy in the least? Because basically you're just another kid at that point. So go out and kill something and drag it in the cave yourself. Be a man about it. Now then, this subject came up, and I see where she's coming from, but we had a pretty long conversation about this, and she knows how I feel about a man's job is to be the protector. And just saying that, like I said, she's a strong woman. Like, just saying that ruffled her feathers a little bit. Now, then she said, I like that personally, but today, maybe the man needs to ask the woman if he should be the protector. And this went on in a long conversation. So, from a woman's point of view, guys, maybe you should have a talk with your wife or your fiance or your girlfriend or whatever and see what their thoughts on this is. Now, here's my problem with that. We live in a society today that for the most part, for most people, an encounter with violence is something that most people have never dealt with. They may never, I hope, but if it does happen, no matter how much strength a woman has or how smart she is, the strongest woman can maybe defend against a weaker man. Maybe. It's not a we're better than they are, it's just we're different than they are. Our muscles are different, our bone structure is different, our propensity for violence is different. The way we grew up probably is a lot different. We're stronger, we're faster. And if a guy's going to be a bad guy to a woman, he knows this. This is why, you know, all through history, pretty much when the soldiers conquered, they just pretty much raped anybody they wanted to, because physically the women could do nothing about it. And that's just a fact of our universe that we live in. You know, whether it should be that way or shouldn't be that way, that's just the way it is. And part of my issue with this is, and I kind of said, so if someone kicks in the door, you just want me to roll over and you take care of it. She goes, maybe. She's just playing around, but maybe. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I know that's not going to be, because when we hear a strange noise, she wakes me up. Why is that? Once you take away all the politics, once you take away the civilization, and it's in the middle of the night, and something goes bump, it's probably not a woman breaking into your house. It's probably 16 to 40 year old men. And instinctively, the man knows he's got the advantage, and instinctively, I think a woman knows she has a disadvantage. Now, there has been some differences of this. I was at a shooting course one time on steel plates, and there was a guy there that was refereeing, and his wife was actually in the competition. She's a national ranked steel shooter with a pistol. Let me tell you something. Whoever breaks into that woman's house has picked the wrong house. If 10 of them break into that house, 10 people picked the wrong house to come into. She could shoot targets that were spread out at different distances and different parallels from each other. It almost sounded like an automatic weapon, at least the speed of an M60, which is slower. It's not like an MP5 or an Uzi or something like that, but like an M60. And all those are hitting different targets at different distances, and I was inspired. And that guy said, if someone breaks in the house, all I'm going to do is roll over and tap her on the shoulder, because she can do more than I can do. Now, in that particular situation, maybe. But as good as she is with a gun, if a guy grabs her by the throat and knocks her in the mouth, it's pretty much over. She can do whatever she can do, but if the guy's set on violence, a woman doesn't really have a chance. Fair or not, it's just the way it is. And I think part of that comes from our society today, where people can be rude, people can tell everybody to F off, people can be snotty. And because of the legal system that we have, if you physically touch somebody, you know you're going to jail. So that gives people, I think, a false sense of security that they can handle a situation, because in 99% of the situations anybody comes in contact with, or people that are upset, no one actually does anything except for verbally. But when that time, when that switches and it's no longer verbal, a woman's going to have a hard time dealing with a man. So even if your woman, your wife, girlfriend, fiance, whatever it is, or I guess in today's political correct, if your partner, whatever that may be, maybe it's just, you don't just talk about being a protector, you're just ready to be the protector. You're mentally ready to be the protector. You're physically ready to be the protector, whether that's armed or not during the situation. In our crazy world today, if a man goes out with his family without a sidearm concealed, and you're in a state that allows it, and you don't, I kind of think you're falling down on your job. I'll be honest with you. I carry one to church. I carry them to the restaurant. I've got one on the boat. Now, the military did say I have a little bit of PTSD that may have something to do with it, and I'm just throwing it out there. But no matter what the situation is, I want to be able to level the playing field as quick as possible. And I know the stronger I get, the better shape that I get, I can handle those situations better. And I think unconsciously she knows that too. So you have the society where most people are just like roosters and squawking at each other, but no one actually ever touches each other. And then when somebody does, it's a shock. Like I watched a video from the Hodges twins, and there was these Antifa people up in these older guys' faces. They were probably about 55 years old. And one of these little 19, 22-year-old wannabe girl boys, long hair, not that long hair makes you like that, but I mean, he was very effeminate. He was screaming an F you and this, that, and the other, and he pushed one of those old guys. Before he even realized what it was, he was waking up on the concrete. Now, you could tell he thought that that would never happen to him, that nobody would actually hit him, like he had society's permission to be the biggest peckerhead and try to bully people, and nothing would ever happen to him. But when it did, the look on his face was priceless, because his whole worldview shattered in like a second. Because he just could not comprehend that he woke up from being knocked out. He deserved it. Now, what if your female partner does not deserve it, and she has this attitude that she doesn't need a male, and a male does that? Well, that's where your job comes in. You don't have to. Maybe the thing is, like if I talk about being a protector on this podcast, I could tell from that conversation that I'm not going to bring that up anymore with Cindy. I'm just ready. If I need to jump into action, I'm ready to jump into action. Because I know that most women throughout the country have never really, unless they've had an abusive spouse, have really experienced what it's like to get hit in the head, or someone hits you in the stomach so hard you can't breathe for about 45 seconds. They've never tasted their own blood in that way. So I think there's a lot of self-confidence because of the society that we live in, just like the little Antifa kid could not believe that he got knocked out because his whole world shattered at that point. And see, I would rather step in before that happens, before that shatters, and take care of that situation so she doesn't have to go through that. But I do think it's maybe that the best thing to do is to be ready and not really talk about it. That's the reason I talk about being in shape. That's the reason I talk about lifting weights. That's the reason I talk about firearms. That's the reason I'm saying you need to know how to use them. Because, and I'll give a little example. If you want to have a humbling experience, guys, find a range or a peak somewhere in the woods that you can hang a target. And I want you to run about 100 yards. Don't have your gun on you. You can just have it sitting there. Run as fast as you can for 100 yards. Do 20 push-ups. Grab the pistol. And in 1 second, shoot the target. It'll be humbling. That's what it's going to be like if you ever have to go to that point. It's never going to be what you thought it would be like. Your adrenaline goes through the roof. You're going to be... Fear is going to be in your body, whether you want it there or not, because if two grown men square off, especially if there's guns, there's a good chance somebody's dying. But just be ready. Now, the second part of this show, I'm sitting here with all this crap going on in the world, and I keep hearing systemic racism, white privilege, and I'm just... Maybe where I live, I've just never seen it. When we come through Rockwood last night from going out and eat with our neighbors, there was probably 50 kids at the local park playing basketball. About half of them were black and about half of them were white, and they're having a time of their life. And that's what I've seen from the time I've grown up, going to boys clubs, playing sports, going in the military, seeing kids out here now. But all we hear is systemic racism and white privilege. So maybe that's not a Southern problem. That's the rest of the country problem, because I'm talking between Alabama, Georgia, and Tennessee. I've just never in my life really seen this systemic racism. I'm not black. I'm not going to pretend that I'm black. I don't know what it's like to be black. I don't know what that is. But I'm sitting here thinking about this because it's off. You know, when you keep hearing something over and over again, and there's something in the back of your head that's going, something's just off. It doesn't quite make sense. So I've been thinking about that, and this is actually what I've come up with. And I'm not saying I'm right, and I'm not saying that it's right. I'm just saying it's a different perspective to maybe chew on a little bit. What if it's not systemic racism and white privilege, but it's cultural privilege? Or majority population privilege? So what do I mean by this? Me and my wife has traveled quite a bit. When we went to Scotland and Ireland, it was no different than being here. It was different. The food was different. They had a different accent. The buildings were really old. The cars were really small. But it wasn't really that different. The culture of here and there was not really that different. But when I was in Thailand, you know, Thailand is culturally set up for Thailand. And the population, the majority, is Thai. You feel out of place. Because, especially when you're my size, and you're walking down the sidewalk, you're like 2 foot above everybody else. I mean, I felt like a giant over there. And you're white, and everyone around you is brown. They speak a different language. They had cultural things I did not understand. And, you know, when people would look up, and all of a sudden there's a 6'2", 300-pound white guy standing in front of them, the look sometimes was, I'll be honest with you, it like scared the bejesus out of them. Sometimes it was just weird looks as you walk down the street. And you notice this. There's no doubt you notice this. But to the people of Thailand, dealing with Thais, the majority population, it's the way it's supposed to be. Now, in Thailand, we went to Chinatown. And they, I mean, this thing is huge. There's a lot of Chinese in Thailand. And they have blocks and blocks and blocks and blocks. It looks like something out of Indiana Jones in one of those movies. We walked around there. I never felt threatened. You know, like I said, my size over there, because Chinese people are kind of small too, my size over there would probably cause most people, if they had bad intentions, just to think about it a little too much. But as you're walking around, people are giving you funny looks. They're pointing at you. They're all speaking a language that you don't understand. But that whole section of Bangkok was culturally Chinese. The population, the majority population, was Chinese. In Costa Rica, it was the same thing. You're not the majority of the population, and it's not your culture. So maybe the issue, if this is an issue, is it's cultural, or it's the majority population. The country is set up for the majority population, which is Caucasian. And because it is that way, maybe, because I don't know, maybe a lot of the feelings that the black people have in this country is because it doesn't match their population. But let's flip the tables a little bit on this. If you're in a bigger city that's majority black area, they're doing their thing. And if you're as white as I am and you show up there, you're going to be looked at with suspicion. Are you doing anything wrong? No, I hope not. Are you just walking around? You're trying to find a restaurant? Whatever it is you're doing. But everybody's going to notice you because the cultural part of that city is different than what you are. And the major population of that part of that city is different than what you are. Does that mean that's racism? I really don't think so. You know, I know people want that to never be the case, but it is, because there's different cultures and there's different populations of different people in different areas. Like here in the South, it's mixed. It's mixed everywhere. No one seems to pay attention because that is our culture. The mixed part is the major population. And down here, it doesn't seem to matter. And I've been up north where I've heard people talk about different towns. And you have like the Polish side, and you have the black side, and you have the Italian side, and you have the Jewish side. Well, see, that's very strange to me. That's very strange to me. Because that's not part of the culture down here at all. You know, when I was in Texas on the border, even though that was America, it was about 80% Hispanic. And I got weird looks. They knew I was not from there. There was mistrust. and they kept a wary eye out on me because I was not part of that population. Do I think they were being racist to me being white? No. I just didn't fit in right there. So maybe a lot of the issue, and I'm just thinking, I'm spitballing this off the top of my head, guys. There's not a script for what I'm saying. Maybe one of the issues is people have a tendency to stick with their culture, whatever that is, and they mistrust other people that are not of that culture. Maybe who's ever the major population of there, that place is set up for them because it's the major population. Because I don't expect Thailand to set Thailand up for white people. I don't expect Costa Rica to set Costa Rica up for white people. I don't even expect in America, around Las Cruces, Texas, and Del Rio, that they set that up for white people because it's not white people that the majority population there. It's just something I've been thinking about. It's not something that I've got an answer for goodness sake. But maybe that's what it is. And maybe that's an issue we should talk about or try to figure out how to get around. I don't know. I don't know how that's possible. But it may not be racism that people are seeing as racism. Maybe it's just a different culture in the majority population. And they feel out of place because they're not the major population. I felt that. But anyway, guys, we're going to close up with that. And I hope you have a good week. Remember, you need to be caring. You need to have empathy. You need to listen to your wife. You need to be helpful. You need to be loving. And most importantly, you need to be independently wealthy. And I will talk to y'all next week.